Yes, Gristlers, we're back again for another week of good old-fashioned gristling here on 2SER 107.3. Goodness, hasn't it been an interesting week? Has anyone been watching ICAC? Has anyone been watching Queensland? Do you know what the AFP are up to? We'll find out here on The Gristles. Stay tuned. Hustle, 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 and there's a few people hustling in and out of the doors of ICAC recently this week, and of course to grizzle about this and many other things. We have on the line the Pundertaker. Pundertaker, good to have you there on the line and in this state for a change.
Yes, yep, it's good to be back from the treasonous realm of Western Australia.
Oh, no, surely not.
Well, treachery, they're planning to succeed, not succeed, no. I'm sure they will. I'm a proud West Australian still in some ways.
A sand groper.
A sand groper. I love groping sand, and that's all I grope.
Yeah. What does sand groper come from? Do you know?
I don't know.
Nobody's ever been able to explain it to me.
It may be something to do with mining, like when they used to trepan for gold. I think that's the right word, pan for gold.
Right,
maybe
okay.
Maybe trepanning, so you drill a hole in your head. Anyway, it's basically
bunch
something
of gold
to do
diggers.
With mining. If it's WA, it's to do mining.
It's mining.
Indeed, because that's Clive Palmer.
The mining state. You should have that on your license plates. And, yep. of course, just around the corner, we've got Demo Crazy. Are you there, Demo?
Good evening.
Good evening. Good to have you back as well. Well, gosh, you know, were any of you surprised on Monday when the, you know, very neatly attired and very carefully spoken Gladys Berejiklian said that she'd been having a relationship for 15 years?
I know.
15 years.
15.
Well,
I think you might be.
She had a friendship. A friendship for 15 years, and it developed a bit over 5 years ago into something closer than something
developed
else.
Developed is the right term, obviously.
Obviously.
Clearly, you know, if only it was only the affections of Daryl Maguire and Gladys Berejiklian that were doing their developing, then she might not be in as much hot water as possible. I think it's extraordinary. Poetry motion / watching a car crash in slow motion, I think it's extraordinary that given everything that has gone on since the founding of ICAC, which let's recall brought down Nick Greiner, we're seeing yet another coalition premier. We saw Barry O'Farrell fall on his bottle of Grange. Now we're seeing Gladys Berejiklian teetering on the brink. It's extraordinary. It's 2020 that it's been going
absolutely
on.
Is. And Demo Crazy, you know, if Gladys doesn't hang on with her lovely painted fingernails to power, who have we got next in line? I believe Dominic Perrottet might be putting his hand up. But doesn't he have... Oh, we've got a few in the background there. Well, a few supporters in the background there. He's got a bit of a few of his own problems. What are the Liberals going to do? Do they have a hope in hell without Gladys?
Well, I think that from what the Pundertaker was saying, it's absolutely extraordinary that ICAC, a really important reform for transparency and accountability, was brought in by a coalition government, and so far it's taken out three premiers have been in the spotlights. Two have gone, being Greiner and Barry O'Farrell, and now Gladys Berejiklian is very much in the spotlight. Absolutely extraordinary. But as you're saying, the treasurer was seen as the person who was most likely to succeed following if Gladys Berejiklian was to leave the role, but has been in huge issues recently.
He's been careless.
Over high care.
Yes.
High careless, even.
Yeah, well, and absolutely amazing. Like they, they basically brought out someone from the USA on the IKEA payroll, and that person never worked a day there. He immediately.
Well, you know, again, it's just more classic socialist principles here from the coalition government. You know, let's just take a recap, though, of the week that was. We effectively had, and I don't know if anyone had the pleasure or privilege of working from home, and so you could listen to the ICAC proceedings. I think it was on Tuesday when effectively the story about the Premier having a close relationship, which is code for being in a relationship.
Close personal relationship. The partner word wasn't mentioned until later in the week, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just sort of think, okay, so this came out. Then during the course of the day, we heard graphic testimony from Daryl Maguire, and then we heard the Premier on tape telling Daryl Maguire that she didn't want to know about that bit when, as the ICAC commissioner had said, there was this context of the conversation. He was basically talking up how he apparently had all these debts to the tune of 1.5 million big ones. He was worried he wouldn't be able to pay them off when he left Parliament because the salaries aren't that high, the pension's not that high, and a guy like him probably doesn't have many options. So what does he do? And he confessed to this later in the week. He decides to look to use his position to feather his nest. The Premier, clearly being aware that something dodgy is going on, says, I don't want to know. And yet, now there's this question mark about whether or not she did the right thing. It just seems like an open and shut case to me.
But she actually...
Disagree, Undertaker. I mean, we need entrepreneurship in this state.
We need to get things done. But if it takes the Chinese only 2 years to build the second airport, why does it take Sydney 40?
She actually... She is yet to be accused of anything. This is the thing. She hasn't been accused of...
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. I'm not sure that's the case, Starvin. Jodie Mackay has been very strong in state parliament.
Yes, but I think she did challenge Jodie Mackay to repeat what she said out of state parliament, and I don't think that's going to happen because we haven't actually got any evidence of the Premier doing anything.
Well, no, she said the words, I don't want to know about that bit, and words have a context. And the context was, it's clear as day, Daryl Maguire was talking about various activities that he was up to, which ICAC has said are worthy of investigation. Why would the Premier, midway through a conversation, decide that she's getting bored of this conversation, which was her claim that she basically wasn't interested? I mean, it's not like the rest of that conversation was particularly interesting, yet it was just at that point when he started to almost open up about what he was doing, she suddenly felt this rush of boredom. I mean, why didn't she feel that for the last 5 years?
Undertaker, have you listened much to Daryl Maguire? I mean, you start to get bored after about three words.
Very, very unfair.
So, I mean, I think it's well within the Premier. I'm sure she'd have been saying that every few seconds to this guy, because clearly it wasn't a meeting of the minds. This relationship, it was obviously just a physical thing.
Well, clearly it wasn't the meeting of the minds. It was the meeting of property developers. It sounds like.
Well, I think we should steer clear of what the meeting actually was of, but there's definitely been some meetings that have been publicised now about where Daryl Maguire used his close personal relationship with the Premier to
talking about meetings
with property developers, etc.
Yeah.
But the just jumping back in terms of the political dynamic now, I think this has galvanised the opposition and... it is a really stark contrast now because Jodie Mackay, as opposition leader, has in the past previously referred people to ICAC because of what she saw as corrupt conduct, and so there's a clear difference in approach when faced by these situations, and I think that's Jodie Mackay really thinks that she's on strong ground with that.
Yes, well, we might move off some of this sort of fairly soggy ground, I think, to another ICAC in the Northern Territory, and I think it's incredible. Maybe we can take this. Maybe Eddie Obeid could perhaps take this line that Kezia Purick, the previous speaker of various Northern Territory parliaments, she seemed to have been managed to hang on to that speakership no matter what happened, because she's now actually suing the ICAC over their findings. How does this happen, Punditaker?
Look. I'll be honest. I can't say.
Haven't been following this, have you?
Well, I mean, I don't think, but it's Northern Territory. You know, if the NT News front pages are anything to go by, it sounds like par for the course. But you know, I just want to throw it back to you two both. I mean, do you see, like, you know, I've been chatting about this to various people around the traps, you know, in sort of in and out of political circles, and I guess the question is has, you know, Barry O'Farrell resigned over receiving an undeclared bottle of Grange? Now, you know, whether you're not like Grange or not is beside the point. He felt that was improper enough to scuttle his political career that he'd worked all his life for. The Premier is now teetering on the edge. I think most people clearly feel like she, you know, at least didn't want to know things that Mr. Maguire was up to. Do we think that there has been a change in the political context in this state where you wouldn't have to resign if you received a bottle of Grange anymore? Like, what is
the Well, it wasn't the bottle of Grange. It was the fact that he denied it so vociferously and that it didn't happen and so forth. And then, you know, very carefully, the thank you note was presented that he wrote to probably
exactly.
on a bunch of about 500 thank you notes.
Like
but
he one day said, no, didn't know anything about this. And
I think
next
that was more the point.
And so he had no
choice. But
it was the denial, as always, it's the denial that gets you into the hot water.
And that's the most damaging part for the Premier was on Monday when she said that conversation absolutely didn't exist, didn't happen, and then by the end of the sentence she was saying, well, not that I can remember anyway.
So it's a double standard. The thing is, do you both see now that there is now a lower standard, I should say, in New South Wales for apparent or potential conflicts of interest like this?
I don't think there's been any standards in New South Wales ever since the Rum Corps. I don't think New South Wales is the place to talk about standards.
Going back to the example that Nick Greiner set, he was named as like there was going to be an investigation for ICAC. He immediately resigned and didn't sit in the party room for that point because he didn't want to bring the party into disrepute.
If your deputy is John Barilaro, then... then it's very hard to bring your party group
into change in that. But I think a point that I saw mentioned during the week, both the treatment by certain media establishments of this case compared to Julia Gillard when a former boyfriend was seen to have been involved in some nefarious conduct, very different treatment by the same media establishments of...
Yes, she didn't go to ICAC, did she?
No, and federal, and so there wasn't an ICAC. But and then the other one was Steve Smith, as Australian cricket captain, and he saw something that he heard something that was dodgy, and he walked by and said he didn't want to know about it. Well, he lost his job over that, and there was an outcry at that time saying that our cricketers have to be have complete integrity, and I think it really shows the difference in how we hold our cricket players compared to our politicians by the popular response to this.
And look, you know, don't you see two, you know, I look at the, you know, various other broadsheets and so on. There are basically two angles going in the media about this. The first is essentially that Gladys was hard done by a dud relationship with a man who let her down and that and that all this stuff to do with whether she breached the code of conduct, whether she should have acted or should have inquired more, or whether she turned a play, sort of falls away in that analysis. There, the main story is she's a good egg. She was let down in her personal life.
She's a good egg, and she's been scrambled.
Leave her alone versus what you see in some of the other press, such as segments of the Daily Telegraph, The Oz and elsewhere, which is where people are saying, no, it's not about her personal relationship. It's not about whether she's unlucky in love and that kind of thing. It's about whether she has adhered to the standards. And what do you two, which of those views do you think is going to win the day?
Well, I think Bob Hawke would have been on Gladys's side. And quite a few other politicians. I mean, aren't we talking about a double standard because she's a woman? Is that what the double standard is here?
Well, but this is a question.
Anyway, speaking of women, there's another woman running Queensland at the moment, Stacey Palaszczuk, and she's decided that she's going to open up dancing. Dancing is now allowed at weddings. You can get the wedding singer in and now dance to whatever they're singing, and you can go out and have a bit of a good time from the nursing home as well, which is, I'm sure, good news for all of the nursing home residents. And so dancing and getting out is now okay. But the Canberra Raiders still can't get in to play their game tonight. I mean, is that a double standard, Punditaker?
Well, look, I think the only double standard here has to do with why the coalition leader, Ms. Freckleton, in Queensland, has, if you believe the ABC reports, has been referred to the, I believe, Electoral Commission or something similar to due to particular fundraising activities. I don't pretend to know the details of what went on,
clearly, Punditaker, she was at a dinner. She was at a dinner, and it was a fundraising dinner. And there was a couple of property developers there. Couple of property developers. You know, they were just getting into the French onion soup and the roast chicken. That's all they were there for.
You know what? It's totally democratic. Do you think basically that property developers should wear ankle tags in this country? Because it seems like every time there's some scandal, there's a property developer, be it on the Labor or the coalition side.
And this is the whole point as to why there were reforms introduced that property developers can't make donations and unduly influence proper decision-making, because it was rife. And whether it was Jeff McCloy in Newcastle with brown paper bags full of cash given to candidates in the back of cars and taxis and stuff like that, there have just been so many stories, and it's just eroded public confidence in democracy so much. So my question is, who invited the property developers in this?
Bunch of guys that you invite everywhere, obviously. That's why they're there.
Social lepers, etc. like that. But it's not the look you want in the political party to have the people who can't at the event.
They're the people with the big bucks. If it's not them, you've got to have people from the CCP, surely. They're the only other ones that have got money these days.
And they turn up to everything as well.
Now, the other thing that I noticed was that we didn't have a National Cabinet meeting when we should have had one.
Well, he got suspended.
Because poor old ScoMo, he's stuck in Queensland, for God's sake. I didn't think he was allowed into Queensland. I thought Stacey wasn't allowing him. But there he was, up there in all his glory in Cairns.
There holding hands. I'll tell you what, he's not socially distancing.
And then, they had the choke out on the jet there, the choke, and the thing wasn't coughing into life. And, you know, goodness gracious me, we could have lost some of our most important politicians.
Hang on a second. Was he on the bus or off the bus? That's the only thing I want to know about Scott Morrison when he's in Queensland.
I think now is the time to buy a very slightly used Qantas jumbo jet for the Prime Minister to run around in. It's a little bit more reliable.
No, well, he's supposed to be on a bus, but I'm surprised that he wanted to spend extra time in Queensland after the warm reception he got at one of the Queensland universities.
That's very unfair, Demo Crazy. Everyone knows that's a Trotskyite lair. You know, any old campus in this country is full of far left reactionaries.
It's appalling.
So basically, the kind of key thing about ScoMo's visit to Queensland is he goes up there for damage repair. There was some talk over the last couple of weeks that last month or so that the polls are tightening. Maybe there was a risk of minority government. One Nation said they wouldn't do a deal with Labor. That's good because I don't think Labor would do a deal with them. ScoMo goes up there because there was a sense that, again, Ms. Freckleton, of being referred to the authorities' fame, was not performing well, and the view was that ScoMo was up there to hold hands for someone who was not performing well, and then he got stuck up there. It's a poor reflection on the LNP, but I'm not sure what is going to happen in that election, but I don't think ScoMo is going to win the LNP any votes up there.
Well, traditionally, anyone that came anything south of, like, about Bundaberg has been unwelcome in the north of Queensland, and particularly anyone that came from Canberra. So I don't know.
We should send Bob Brown back up there. That's a perfect strategy.
That would have been a good LNP strategy, but I don't know whether Bob's going to fall into that trap twice.
You know, I just want to talk about south of the border. I just want to quickly swing, just because we've only got a couple of minutes. Victoria, the numbers are down. The right and the Kevin Rudd loving Murdoch press have been getting stuck into Daniel Andrews, but it's clear that his strategy has suppressed the virus and they're about to open up. Do we think Daniel Andrews is going to come out of this smelling like a Melbourne soy latte, or is he going to end up maybe having to...
Well, look, it will depend entirely upon how well the virus has been suppressed. If there's another flare-up in this virus, I don't know how well he's going to get out of that one, because how many people are left?
Being suppressed,
the health minister's gone. There's all these people that have gone. There's been this inquiry. Nobody knows who the security guards were and who signed the contract to have them on board. And I think, you know, people being locked up for months on end, they're baying for blood right now. So he better not make another step wrong. That's what I think.
He's still popular,
Dan. In terms of the numbers going down, the head of the department of the Premier and Cabinet in Victoria stepped down this week over the hotel quarantine. So it's that story's still got a bit to go, and that's going to determine Daniel Andrews' fate.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of fate,
he's got a high approval rating, up to 59%. I mean, let's not act like he's an unpopular premier, because he is.
Well, you've got to look at the opposition, haven't you?
I mean, Michael O'Brien. I'll tell you what.
You know,
if you... Lobster guy.
Like Deb Frecklington could clean up down there if she went down there. I reckon that she'd become much more popular suddenly, because they're like a bucket of prawns in the sun, that Liberal Party in Victoria.
There's a particular breed of conservative down there.
Yeah. Well, now, look, moving...
New election.
Talking about particular breeds of conservatives... you've got La Trump going, hey, I'm the president. I have to go and see people and infect them. He thought it was okay to be in the Rose Garden and infecting people. I mean...
He thought he was blessed by God.
It is breathtaking, isn't it?
I think
he thought God was blessed by him, but then he misspoke.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're both blessed by Stormy Daniels. What is really interesting, so they've got a big story this week, apart from Trump being reckless, is the fact that the New York
Post... Is that reckless or feckless?
Well, both. Basically, there was a smear story coming out of Mr. Nosferatu himself, Rudy Giuliani, trying to basically pin this hocus-pocus conspiracy theory between Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and Ukraine. The New York Post ran this smear, which basically, like, I think came out of Rudy Giuliani's sort of back pocket, and Facebook and Twitter have refused to allow it to be published on their platforms. What do we think of that? Because we know the effect of Clinton's email scandal, which was a non-event, but it seemed to tip the balance, and this time Facebook and Twitter don't want that to happen.
Exactly, and this is a new interventionist approach, probably aimed at trying to restore their own images more than caring what exactly people were thinking about their what was going on to their platforms. But interestingly, there's also been a report, I think in the last day or so, that the that Rudy Giuliani was being targeted by the Russian intelligence forces to try and influence the president and the government and the election. And this was
from... I don't think that would take much.
That was, well, you know, and a president was informed of this, and the president said, "Oh, well, that's Rudy for you." That's it. Yeah, your intelligence forces come to you and say, "Look, you know, there's a big campaign on here to turn one of your."
Hang on, Starvin. That what you're saying is intelligence forces come to Trump and say, "Trump, your boss Putin is trying to get Rudy to help you win an election." This sounds like music to Trump's ears.
I mean, maybe it was.
It sounds like deja vu to me.
It sounds like deja vu.
We'll also have to send a shout out to the campaigners on Joe Biden's plane, who have turned up with just a little bit of COVID. Hopefully, he apparently was 15 meters away.
He just needs to make it to win the election and make it through to January. And, you know, if he decides to fall off his perch after that, I hope he doesn't. But just
Kamala Harris has also got people with COVID. So
yeah, but I think.
So that's, you know, it's not looking too good for either of them. Anyway, we're going to have to get going. This has been The Gristle here on 2SER 107.3. I've been Starvin Marvin. We've been with The Punditaker. Thank you, Punditaker.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, Demo Crazy. We're going to be back again next week with whatever bit of technology we can muster. Thank you for being with us. And I think you need to all go out and have a bit of joy tonight. So we'll go on a bit of the old cheers.
And don't forget to say, "I don't want to know about that bit." That's all the right lie.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights.